Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for December 22nd, 2015. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. You know, today, Chip, is December 22nd. It is the winter solstice. You know what that means?
What does that mean?
It's going to be dark.
It's going to be very dark.
It's very dark.
Very short day here.
The shortest day of the year. 24 hours.
24 hours. But not a lot of light.
That's right.
There's no light.
Oh, more dark side today.
There's the dark side. It's very strong.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear from this day forward that the force gets stronger for the light side.
The light is coming. And three more sleeps till the big day.
For the big day, what do you mean by the big day? Christmas?
Doctor Who special on Christmas Day.
What?
River Song's going to be in it.
Well, you'll have a great time.
I will have a great time.
I've tried. I promise you I've tried.
I love watching Doctor Who. We don't talk about Doctor Who a lot on this show because you've tried and it's not for you.
I don't mind talking about it because I can pull it out of you and I know the joy it brings to you. And there is a whole group of people out there that really like Doctor Who.
Yes, we do.
And we don't have a problem with that.
And we come together at Chicago TARDIS in November, and we have a great time together. The other thing we came together to do this week, though, was we came together as a people, as a culture, as a planet, and we watched Star Wars.
There was a large part of our planet that saw Star Wars.
Everybody but China. They'll get it in a couple of weeks, and they'll be fine.
So you went on opening night, and I went on opening night at two different theaters.
Technically, we went the night before opening night. Now, here's where it gets confusing, right? Opening night for Star Wars is December 18th, 2015.
It's a Friday.
We went on Thursday the 17th to technically a preview, but sure was opening night, wasn't it?
It was opening night. And the place that I saw the movie, along with my two daughters, was packed. Was absolutely packed. I had a lady and her mom who were dressed up as Princess Leia with the hair buns.
Nice.
With the full dresses. And there were costumes everywhere. Next to me was a lady. She was dressed as Darth Vader. And her friend next to her was dressed as a stormtrooper.
Nice.
Definitely a lot of very spirited occasion for that day. Did you get a lot of the excitement?
We got a lot of the excitement in the theater, but our theater was very concentrated. We are very much watching this movie. There wasn't a lot of noise. There wasn't a lot of movement. My 9-year-old and I sat next to each other, and he started going, oh, at the beginning of the movie. And I kind of shushed him because the rest of the room hadn't decided. We decided as a group that we weren't going to do that, I think.
We also had a little bit different experience because before the movie started, the previews were coming up.
Yeah, your previews were a little different.
Oh, we did. And I had Zootopia's, Disney's new film coming up. And the preview that we had the sloths.
Okay.
And if you haven't seen this preview, think about just wanting to do something really, really bad, and you're dealing with someone who is much slower than you would normally do it.
And that's the sloths.
Absolutely. And anyway, you're wanting to get to this movie. Disney knows you want to get to this movie.
When your adrenaline is running, everything else seems to go really slowly. And yeah, I can see this trailer. We'll put it in the show notes. This trailer, you've got an adrenaline-filled character.
Rabbit.
A rabbit, no less. And then this sloth who is moving at his own pace. And it's a really funny juxtaposition.
And right after that, the movie starts, which was very unique, as you mentioned last week, without the fanfare.
No 20th Century Fox fanfare. That Lucasfilm logo has no music. All this time we thought the Lucasfilm logo had music, but no, that's just the extended version of the 20th Century Fox fanfare.
And then John Williams' score pops open, mm-hmm. and the movie starts, and everyone just absolutely, things got quiet.
Okay.
And things went right there. I mean, right toward the movie.
So,
what did you think?
I loved it. I loved it more than I could have possibly imagined I would love it. It is... we're not going to do any spoilers. No spoilers. There's been a lot of talk on the internet this week about people who are wanting to see this movie like I did without any information. So no spoilers. But two things. First, it is the best religious film that I've seen in 2015. It is the most faith and joy and belief movie that I've seen in 2015.
Okay.
Second, it's about fathers and sons. And when I was there with my boys, my face was wet by the end. I was in this movie.
Well, a lot of people agree with you, and a lot of critics agree with you. In fact, Rotten Tomatoes said it's 95% fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my two girls with me, and let's make sure I'm clear on this, that we have an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old. So roughly your children's age.
Right.
And my daughter, her response to it was boring. Followed by the second daughter, who said, I almost fell asleep like four times. So I don't know if it was being that age or not being Star Wars fans, but I can tell you that they were in the very, very minority, that everyone around me absolutely were just lapping up this movie.
Okay.
It was a very exciting part. And like I said, we're not going to give away spoilers, because this movie, like many movies, is probably going to have 3 or 4 weeks worth of legs.
At least.
Because there were people who showed up the first night.
Mm-hmm.
There will be people that will see it over the Christmas break. There'll be people who will see it over the winter break. And then there are people who do not like crowds who will go and see it.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie probably works best knowing little about it, other than...
I agree.
It was a very good move.
It's a very good movie. It is a shoot 'em up, all the flying and sword play that you would ever expect to be in a Star War. Mm-hmm. It's there. The story is there. I liked it. I know that some people criticize the story, and we don't really need to get into why. Mm-hmm. They felt that they've seen it before, maybe.
Well, I can understand that. But then again, I'm an older person. And I have probably seen, I don't know, 100 films mm-hmm. that have gone through a story similar to this. But if you're an 8, 9, 10-year-old, you have not seen 100 films like this.
Right.
And this movie is incredibly skillfully done. Beautiful shots and things of that nature. When I said the critics liked it and the people around me enjoyed it, I don't think that's a surprise. But if you do want to read some negative criticism, go into one of the reviews from a newspaper. And go underneath it. It's amazing. I don't think these people could be happy with anything.
Yeah, that's true. That there's a lot of people who go into something that brings a lot of people joy and automatically naysay that.
Sure.
That's welcome to Christmas.
Well, this is also, once again, very pop. So it's meant for the everyday Joe.
Right.
And the everyday Joe hasn't experienced, 75 different integrations of William Shakespeare's plays.
Right.
So if you feel that you're on that critic level, then, go ahead and put your wares out there and let us read on. But if not, I don't think it really has a lot of legs to stand on.
The box office numbers certainly indicate that a lot of people want to watch this movie. It's broken all sorts of records this weekend.
We had potentially about a $250 million opening in the U.S. The numbers have not been finalized yet. And then we also had like $279 million overseas.
So about a half a billion dollar weekend.
It has shattered every other big movie that mm-hmm. has come out. Now, to prepare for this film, you went back and you reviewed some films.
Went into the archives.
Well, I did a little bit. We both watched The Return of the Jedi.
It seemed like it was the thing to do before going to the new movie that is the sequel. It seems logical to go back to Episode 6 and to review that material.
And in that film, what did we learn? Luke, Leia, and Han all survive, and Chewie and all the characters.
Mm-hmm.
The Death Star was blown up. Luke Skywalker has defeated his father. His father has returned to the light side and helped destroy Palpatine or Darth Sidious.
Mm-hmm.
So we're left with this. This great battle is over, and that sort of the 30 years after that happened kind of leads us to where the movie we just talked about, mm-hmm. The Force Awakens. If you haven't seen this movie in a long time, maybe it's worthwhile revisiting. You obviously did, and I did too.
I watch Episode 4, 5, and 6 every Christmas on Christmas Day. We watch all three, and so I've seen this one quite a few times
sure.
in the last 30 years. But I still reviewed it just to make sure that I was in the right mindset for the new movie. And you watched it too, and you found it challenging.
Well, I've seen it many times. I certainly don't watch it yearly. But I think that my time is watching this movie, it's not over. I'll see it again in my lifetime. But what I really wanted to get to was the conversation between Darth Sidious, Palpatine, Luke Skywalker, and Vader. I was much more interested in that. I felt I could learn something from that interaction that I didn't. The thing that I will state that still it seems very interesting is if we look at Luke, you know, Lucas was very much into watching the evolution of these characters and having mm-hmm. things mirror from the past to the future.
Right.
And what do we see in the first Star Wars, A New Hope? Luke is wearing white. You know, he's a poor person. When we get to, you know, The Return of the Jedi, Luke's wearing black.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't know how this will ultimately play out. But, you know, there's probably a reason for that. And maybe Disney and the writers and the directors will address some of those things too.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll figure it out. We don't want to talk too much about, once again, the Force Awakens. If you haven't seen it, just other than to go
what
see it.
What have you been doing? If you haven't
well,
seen
probably
this.
Working and you know, have life happening around you. But let's get to what you really want to get to, because your love of the prequels seems to come out.
You know how much I hate the prequels. You know that I've disavowed all knowledge of the prequels.
He's actually acknowledging on some level that maybe there was a rumor in the Force at some point in the past.
All right. So you also know my love for riffing and making fun of movies. We've talked about Mystery Science Theater 3000 for the last 2 months, and let's stop talking about that. But Riff Tracks, the splinter group that was Mystery Science Theater 3000, they have a new app. It's only on Android for right now, but they have a Riff Tracks app that automatically syncs their funny commentary to your video, and they've released all six Star Wars movies.
Do you put in your DVD or your Blu-ray?
Uh-huh. Or streaming.
And then it tells you when to press play?
Nope. You no longer have to do that. This new app automatically syncs based on the microphone on your device listening for the words of the movie, kind of like Shazam works. Okay. And it is amazing and perfect and brilliant.
And so when you're watching this, you have to have your tablet or your phone working.
Mm-hmm.
And that would not go through your speakers.
Unless you wired it that way. But generally speaking, it's a second sound. Maybe put it on the couch next to you so that those guys can sit on the couch next to you and give this commentary.
Okay. So on some level, they're sitting with you.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. They are not pulling any punches with Phantom Menace. Let's put it that way.
With the Phantom Menace? Where they introduced, I think, Darth Maul. And Darth Maul dies. And that's a lot of a character to introduce.
It really is. It really is. And they didn't kill Jar Jar.
They didn't kill Misa. Don't know what you're talking about.
People are going to die? Yeah. The Riff Tracks commentary makes that movie at least a little bit enjoyable. And has the snark of those guys saying the things that I am thinking.
Does it mirror the later conversations in the other movies where they talk about sand?
It mentions all of those things.
Sand.
And it's free. You know, the Riff Tracks guys are giving this away for now. All six commentaries for the Star Wars movies, all six of them are available for free. You can download it. We've got in the show notes where you can find more information, and it's fun. You found an article that I disagree with a little bit, but we had a lot of interesting discussion on our Facebook page. George Lucas nearly wrote a perfect prequel trilogy. He just didn't notice.
Well, part of this is saying the execution was yeah. not where it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
George Lucas had all the elements there for a very good prequel, and that his skill at putting together the movies didn't
especially
allow that to happen.
Especially the dialogue. He is not a good dialogue writer.
The wordsmith, maybe not.
Oh, boy.
Did Harrison Ford say the line, Yeah. Then you can write this, but you can't say it.
Yep. He said that directly to George Lucas, because George Lucas is not good at writing dialogue, which is why he was brilliant enough to realize that and to hire somebody to write the dialogue for him. Empire Strikes Back and The Force Awakens, both written by Lawrence Kasdan, brilliant wordsmith. You saw Mr. Holmes, speaking of good wordsmiths, this is a Sherlock Holmes story.
I did. This is a story of an aging Sherlock Holmes, mm-hmm. who sort of is going through dementia, Alzheimer's, maybe that type of thing, kind of losing his memory. And then he's trying to figure out a way to keep that, to cure himself with the medicine of the time, and his relationship with a boy. This was a film that, if you have interest in it, maybe you could watch it. This was not the strongest film.
Hmm.
And in fact, I found myself somewhat bored through it. It certainly wasn't a challenge of how it looked or how it was executed. It just seemed pretty dry.
Mm.
The actors were fine.
I wonder if it's a British thing.
It is. It's a BBC film.
Okay.
But it certainly looked beautiful and was interesting, especially if you have interest in Sherlock Holmes. I think that they made a pretty good film on that.
New episodes of Sherlock are coming out in the next month, too. Oh, boy. Opening this week, we've got a
couple... Which basically means Christmas.
Oh, see, I have a Christmas tradition where we went to the movie theater on Christmas, and you looked at me like I was insane when I said that.
Well, usually on Christmas, I don't. Usually what I think of is people who don't celebrate Christmas. They go to the theater. But you're saying that, it's part packed.
Of... Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Packed. This is a big week. Everybody's out of school. A lot of people are off of work. This is the week to catch up on a lot of entertainment. So there's a lot of good movies coming out this week. The first one's called Concussion. This is the Will Smith movie where he's playing a pathologist who uncovers the truth behind brain damage in football players.
Mm-hmm. This looks very interesting.
I will definitely see this one.
And very timely.
Mm-hmm.
I will not probably see this in a theater, but this is definitely something I'm interested in seeing.
This is a story all about how his life got flipped, turned upside down.
Okay.
You have no idea what I'm talking about? Nothing. Okay.
Nothing. No television for me, my friend.
Okay. Joy is the true story of Joy Mangiano and her Italian-American family, and she is a real person. She is in charge of a company, and she made this miracle mop in 1990, and this is the story of how her individuality and her family became this big business.
Well, this is interesting. Has interest to me because Jennifer Lawrence is in it. Oh. And Jennifer Lawrence usually picks pretty good films to be in. I enjoy, many times you follow actors. This is an actor I would follow right now. She's got the choice of leads as she likes them.
Okay.
So that would be something, the reason I would be interested in him. There's a theme in a lot of these Christmas movies is that they look like they're very good, but there's nothing that's compelling me that I have to go see them.
Okay. So we could mention Daddy's Home. This is the Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg fighting over children.
This looks like Step Brothers,
yes.
But with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
And it's a comedy for the
very
for Christmas.
Silly. Yeah, here, go watch a silly comedy. There's the remake of Point Break. That's a sure winner.
All right, perfect. I do not mind surfing movies. And this is a remake. I don't know why they needed to remake it.
I don't know.
But they did.
I'm not going to that one. And then Quentin Tarantino is opening his Hateful Eight. This is his ultra-violent, ultra-sweary Western.
Well, I like Quentin Tarantino quite a bit.
I do not.
You do not?
I do not.
Well, I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like seeing people suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that he shows in his movies. But part of that is to give you this queasiness when you're watching him. His dialogue is usually the reason why you go, because there's fast and there's witty parts to it, and there's stories that are being told, and there's misdirection going on.
Mm.
I enjoy it. But I do not enjoy watching people suffer.
So you're probably not going to go see The Revenant either.
I won't see that in the theater.
Okay.
But this has Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
Leonardo DiCaprio usually picks, when we follow actors, they usually pick good film roles, something that has of interest.
Mm-hmm.
So this looks like it's going to be, an exciting film. Christmas to me seems very scattered. Something for every type of person. And, you know, if we also remember that Sisters was released last week against Star Wars, you know, you think of all the children's films, they're probably still at the theater. So if you're going to a multiplex, there's something for everyone there, from the intellectual to the everyday person.
All right. So there's all kinds of movies you can go out and see, and some of them you can wait for streaming later.
That's the reason why we have Netflix, right?
That's right. Brings us to our Appetiter app of the week, and I've been playing with the Action Movie FX app. This is put out by Bad Robot, J.J. Abrams' company, and boy, has it been interesting.
So how does it work? Because this is fascinating.
It's a whole new world, Chip. We can add special effects to any movie. All the special effects movies that we've been seeing can be made very inexpensively and very quickly. And now you can hold in your phone the ability to add special effects to any scene. What you do is you shoot a 10 to 20 second video, and then onto that real video, you add these special effects. And of course, because it's J.J. Abrams' company, they have the rights to all the Star Wars effects. So you can have BB-8 roll through your house and shoot electricity at something. You can have AT-AT legs come in and smash a car. It's amazing.
So basically, you could be... I have a video of your daughter, mm-hmm. or your son walking across, you know, some kind of field or something like that, and then all of a sudden meteors drop out of the sky or something of that nature.
Or Darth Vader. That's the nice part. The original Action Movie FX was meteors and cars and mm-hmm. normal things, and now we've added the Star Wars things. And I did pay $6 to get all the Star Wars added footage, but all that money is going to charity, which is kind of nice too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So those of you who are into making movies, this is one way to do it.
Take that Christmas picture and then add some effects to it.
Yeah. Try not to write just bad dialogue though. I hate
sand. That's right. I hate sand.
Brings us to our book at our book of the week, and you know, guess
more,
what?
More Star Wars stuff.
Guess what?
You read Star the novelization Wars. To
I
the
did.
Star Wars film.
I picked it up as soon as it was available. It was available at midnight on Friday, the 18th, mm-hmm. and I picked it up as soon as it was available, and I started reading it, and I am done with it as of this moment. I've read every word. This is written by Alan Dean Foster, who was responsible for the novelization of Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. He was ghostwriting at that time. George Lucas put his name on it, but Alan Dean Foster was really the author of that novelization. This is a novelization. It's not a novel. It's...
Do you think they took the script and they wrote the story from it? Not that they wrote a book and then they wrote a script from it.
Correct. This is Alan Dean Foster taking the script, seeing some of the movie that they shot, and knowing the characters, the actors, and writing us a novelization of that.
Tell me, are there parts of the book that are left out
yes.
of the movie?
There are scenes in this book that are not in the movie because they were...
cut at some point.
They were not necessary to the story. They were boring, and they're still boring in the novelization. And so there's a little bit of extra information in this novel that we didn't get in the movie. And the reason why I read it was I wanted more vocabulary.
Okay.
My plan is to watch this movie the day before it came out on December 17th, to read as much as I can possibly read about it, and then to go see it again before the end of the year.
Do you think on Christmas you would go see Star Wars again?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It is certainly possible that that might be on our list of things to do. My mother hasn't gone to see it yet, so that
she
might
was
be...
waiting for her son.
That might be...
her Padawan.
Something
that
we
as
do.
As they would call him.
Yeah. Because I think she, as somebody who enjoyed those movies in the 70s and 80s, would enjoy this movie just as much. And I think she would like to go with her grandsons.
Will you wear a rat tail?
I did at one point.
All right.
But I've graduated from Padawan.
Oh, so you have your own Padawans yeah, now.
That's right. And luckily that has gone out of style. That is not a good look. I do recommend this book. I don't recommend it highly, but I do recommend it for those people who are still interested in finding more information. There's so many other books. All the short stories that I'm now reading that came out before the movie. I read a few of them before and saw some of those characters in the movie that you didn't know.
I know.
But now I'm going back and reading the rest of those. There's a lot of information out there if you want it. If you don't, then don't worry about it. Brings us to our Now the News, and there's all sorts of stuff happening. It's kind of a slow news week because it's Christmas and Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, was on 60 Minutes on Sunday, and he had a lot to say.
He was. I enjoyed this. In fact, I was getting ready to go play. I play basketball a couple times a week, and I was hoping this would finish. Before the football game lasted a long time, and then Tim Cook came on. I enjoyed this. There was a couple parts that I really liked. I enjoyed the tour of where the campus is going to be, the new Apple building, and sort of how it's going through. We had the designer who was going, who was giving us a preview of what it will look like. They're bringing in the glass now from Germany for it. So Johnny Ive gave us this beautiful tour. There is no doubt that this will be a work of art by the time that office campus building is built. This will be a work of art for years and years. Like we talk about Frank Lloyd Wright, we could be talking about Johnny Ive. We could be talking about Michelangelo. I mean, really, Johnny Ive, on that level.
Is such an artist. He is such a designer. He is the artist that I know of working today. I know that there are thousands of artists, but his work is in everybody's hands.
Well, if we think about some of the great works of art as far as architecture during not our lifetime, but you know, over the last 100 and some years, you know, the Chrysler Building, the World Trade Centers, the Sears Tower, you know, these we had industrial giants come through. In fact, the Procter & Gamble Company is giving a tour right now of their building designed by Frank Lloyd Wright that leaked and all sorts of other fun stuff that it can go wrong. But my point is that these were designed for their time, and they were modern for their time. And this Apple building is fascinating. I mean, it seems like 9 months of the year, no air conditioning, no heat will be needed. So only for 3 months of the year will they need those types of things. Why? Because it was designed that way. And, oh, just beautiful, beautiful. Tim Cook did address a few things. One, he addressed the taxes that Apple is the most valuable company in the world. They were asked point blank why some assets that are overseas have not been brought back into the country. He said at a 40% markdown, because that's what you'd end up paying in taxes. He goes, that's not reasonable. And he was very specific about saying that the tax code that was written for the industrial age is not necessarily the tax code that needs to be written for today's age. So my hope is that at some point there will be some kind of arrangement that is more meets the needs of the businesses today who are global in perspective, and also meets the needs of wherever the populations are. Because they do, as he said, we pay lots of taxes. The other thing we talked a little bit about was privacy and encryption. And he was very point on that things are encrypted or they're not encrypted. And he said, I'm not looking to skirt the law, but you should, as a user, have a certain amount of expectation when using this device, which is very interesting. Because this week, BlackBerry CEO came out and was saying, well, no one's ever called us about this, but we're not, you know, if the government came and asked us to help them out, we would. Well, think about that for a moment. It's either encrypted or it's not encrypted.
If there's a backdoor, then it's not encrypted.
And Tim Cook was very clear on that. And, you know, I'm not defending anybody, but my point is that there's a reason why we live in the United States. That I know bad guys can do bad things, okay? And I'm not looking to have bad things to happen to anybody, but at some point we live in a free society, and you've got to be able to respect that.
And privacy is one of those issues that is certainly on the docket of things that we need to discuss nowadays.
Well, and a lot of people ignore it, and it's not something that's very important to them. So for those people who have already turned off the sound, mm-hmm. you can turn it back up now.
How would they know?
Oh, they wouldn't. We'll have to use the force and call them.
That's right. Mobile payments is a big part of Christmas. Everybody's going out and doing some shopping. Hopefully all of your Christmas shopping is done now that it's Tuesday. But boy, if you want to do some shopping, you can go to Walmart. Starting on December 10th, Walmart Pay is now available. You can use your phone to pay at Walmart.
And this is a direct competition on some level mm-hmm. with Visa and MasterCard.
It is. Walmart thinks that they might be big enough to become a financial giant like Visa and MasterCard.
On some level, they've got to pay mm-hmm. the most money to Visa and MasterCard.
Right.
And to be able, or American Express too, to be able to, and Discover, and all, to be able to take some of those costs and to be able to potentially lower prices again. That right. seems like that's something they're interested in doing. Immediately after that, Target said, hey, we're interested in getting involved in this too.
Yep, they are going to be a part of the same system. It's called Currency, and it's an interesting conglomeration going up against Apple Pay and Android Pay, and it's going to be an interesting fight.
Well, Apple Pay, Android Pay, Samsung Pay seem to be the three big ones right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's always a place for innovation,
mm-hmm.
but on some level it kind of should work in waves. So I'm not saying that no one should come and enter this space, but we'll see how this kind of plays out. How we pay for things could change quite dramatically.
And I can quickly tell you,
and think about, privacy issues.
Yep.
The government really doesn't want you paying in cash. That's not saying that you shouldn't pay in cash.
Maybe you should if the government says you shouldn't.
For people who like to work on budgets, cash works really, really well.
Mm-hmm. And wink, certainly
wink,
anonymous.
Wink, wink, wink. But, and that's right. It's anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
But for many of us who use debit cards and things of that nature, how we connect and potentially could benefit from, you know, having more competition in this arena, well, the consumer can only win. What can I say?
And lose anonymity. Speaking of anonymity, the FAA has finally published their rules for quadcopter and drone aircraft. So all of you kids who are getting your quadcopters and drones for Christmas in a couple of days, you need to register with the FAA or face harsh penalties.
Well, you have to be 13 years old now to fly one.
Legally speaking, you must be 13 years of age in order to fly a quadcopter.
And you have to pay your $5 if you don't register before
January 21st. They're giving you a full month. This started yesterday officially, and they're giving you a full month of free registration. So go in and put in your information to the government, and nobody will worry about that we're registering with the government. But after a month, you have to pay them $5 for that.
Well, I think what we're trying to do is, if we're going to have these drones flying around everywhere, one of them will drop out somewhere and hit you on the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody is going to bang into a house or something. And the ability to be able to trace that back to an owner
mm-hmm.
is going to be very important, because your homeowner's insurance, guess what, is going to be how it's going to be insured.
Right. So it's important to have rules, and establishing these rules, they seem like pretty reasonable rules. It does apply to not only quadcopters and drones, but also model rockets.
Okay.
So kids, when you're out doing your model rockets, you also have to put your registration number on those for the same reason.
Sure. Now, the Rice Lanterns from a few years ago, in fact, I had a buddy of mine who just went to a festival of this down in North Carolina and was saying how beautiful it was and all of that. Well, a couple of years ago here in Illinois, they became, I guess, governed or looked over as a firework. So we used to send up rice lanterns all the time, and I guess we can't do that anymore officially. Why are you still winking at me?
I guess you can put your registration number on there. Is that an unmanned vehicle? I guess it sort of is.
A burning thing that's landing
that's
somewhere.
On fire? Seems like a bad idea. We don't want things in the air on fire. That's why the major airlines have banned those two-wheeled self-balancing scooters. You know, the ones that people are calling hoverboards.
Yes.
They're not hoverboards.
It's like a Segway, personal Segway.
A Segway without a handle. It's just two wheels, and you just put it under your feet, and you go around in that that gyroscopic way that the Segway works, mm-hmm. and the batteries on those are catching on fire.
Are you saying there's a reason maybe they're less expensive than a Segway?
Yes, they are definitely cheaply made, and the manufacturers might not be paying attention to how much stress that battery can take under those conditions, and people are seeing these things exploding. So the major airlines have said, nope, you are not taking that potentially exploding thing onto our airplane.
So that means in order to get one across country, they're going to have to ship it by truck.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That could potentially increase the cost.
Yes. And I bet you that there's some kids that have these under the tree for Christmas as well. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we've skirted that issue. So that's good. Speaking of driving things by truck, what if we could get self-driving vehicles? That would save so many lives. We would have no accidents except for one key flaw in this whole thing.
The key flaw is that there are humans driving around it.
It's the other people that are driving the other vehicles that are the problem. People keep hitting these cars.
These self-driving cars. And they're tracing them back to human error.
Uh-huh.
That they are the self-driving car is actually following the law. You mean actually stopping at the stop sign as opposed to the California stop.
That's right.
People are slamming into them and all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, I feel this all the time when I'm driving, because I drive like an old person, and I feel like behind me there's always somebody flailing their arms saying, go! Move! I'm going.
Body of an adult, mind, or driving of an 80-year-old, is that what you're saying?
Mind of a child, body of an adult, and driving style of a 90-year-old. That's me. You've described me to a T. I'm driving according to the law. I'm following the law, the rules of the road, the speed limit, and others disagree with that.
You sit over on that left-hand lane in the speeding line going exactly the speed, speeding.
That's the law, yeah.
And that right now, and they've already determined, actually they have police cars that will stop you for doing that.
For going with the law?
You're creating actually a hazard because...
That's illogical.
You're creating a hazard out there. So the idea is to be in the center lane, the yes. passing lane. In fact, Germans have yes. it right that there is a passing lane, mm-hmm. which is the left-hand lane, which you don't drive in,
mm-hmm.
and then there is a driving lane. Here in the United
Always
States...
Always choose the middle path.
Here in the United States, they drive everywhere. But I think that there is a couple opportunities for this. Now, I lived in Washington, D.C. for a while, and there are HOV lanes, high occupancy vehicles. And what we would do, typically, if you wanted to go to work, is you would leave your home, go to the local kiss and drop, is where you would queue yourself up, and a stranger would stop by, and you would fill up a car, and you could drive, if you had four people to a car at the time, you could drive down these special lanes. They had a big diamond on them. And you supposedly could get to work quicker than if you drove by yourself.
Completely unlicensed Uber.
In fact, that's exactly what it is. But yeah, if you're in D.C., the number of people that work for the government or for the military and are going to similar places. So, you know, you could go to the Pentagon. You can hit the metro from the Pentagon, and you can get anywhere in the city you needed to go. And that's basically how a lot of people worked. And people went to work at the same time, and they got off at the same time. I mean, Washington's a pretty predictable place like that.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Chicago, we actually do have HOV lines. I don't know if they really use them like that anymore.
I don't think so.
But that could be the self-driving lanes of the future in the sense of carving out specific lanes that are designed for these self-driving vehicles with the idea they're going at a constant speed. It could speed up time going downtown.
And keep the humans away from them.
Yeah, and just speculate even further, we could have some test of cities that actually do not allow driving in there, except by self-driving cars.
That'd be interesting. Have a parking lot outside of the city where you leave your human car and get into a self-driving car for your time inside of the city. That's a very interesting concept.
Well, the idea could be that get around sooner, safer, all sorts of reasons. And if you're a city like Chicago that is financially restrained in so many ways and now constrained because they can't get enough taxes, think about having to potentially have fewer streets to plow, mm-hmm. fewer streets to maintain. All sorts of things could benefit from that.
It's going to change.
So we could see over the next 10, 15, 20 years, we could see a dramatic change.
It's going to change everything. Just like Chrome OS has changed everything. I love me a Chromebook. I think it is the best tool we have for students, for education. It's a $200 laptop that only runs Chrome OS.
Now, that's actually coming to our school district, I think, next year.
Yes, it is, because I've been advocating for it for years. I think it's a great tool for what we want to do in class. Mm-hmm. And this week, Chrome OS has added a video player. This is my favorite video player. It's called VLC, and it is the best, in my opinion, way to get video from your hard drive onto your screen. It plays everything.
So what's the difference between, say, VLC and YouTube?
Well, YouTube is a source, is a library of information. Mm-hmm. The way that you play it is something called a codec, and VLC has almost all the codecs, and there's tons of them.
So a DVD, a Blu-ray,
any kind of file.
Windows type of file.
Anything.
Okay.
It is the ultimate Swiss Army knife for video. If I want to play a video on a computer, maybe I'm going to put it onto a TV, maybe I'm going to put it onto a projector for class. This is the utility, and it's now available on the Chrome OS.
And it's free.
And it's always been free. It's an open source kind of a platform where the community of people have put it together, made it the best thing that we can make it for everyone.
How wonderful and interesting.
You should use VLC.
So we've been talking for just a few minutes, and we seem to have forgotten Star Wars. So tell me, how should we end this this podcast?
Just like Hillary Clinton. Did you see that in the debate?
I did.
Hillary Clinton is pandering to the nerd vote, and my God, it worked.
Who doesn't she pander to?
Well, there is that. She is a politician. But I've been touched the last few weeks by the number of people who have ended conversations with me with the phrase, "May the Force be with you." That's touching. That's amazing that they would...
They didn't say happy holidays, and you would be offended, of course.
They said,
"May the Force be with you," and you're there.
I wouldn't be offended by happy holidays. I don't say happy holidays. I don't necessarily say Merry Christmas, but ending a conversation with "May the Force be with you," that's the most amazing thing that some people have found in their hearts to do for me for the last couple of days. So I tell you,
they're speaking to you, Steve.
They really took the time and thought about what they could say to me to be thoughtful. And that was the most thoughtful thing. It was amazing. It brought me to tears like three times this week. Speaking of which, in space, on the International Space Station, there's some men and women who are serving up there in space, and they didn't get to make it to the Star Wars Force Awakens this week.
They probably were inspired to be up there from probably Star Trek and Star Wars.
That's right. So the movie came to them. They were granted a viewing of Star Wars The Force Awakens up in the International Space Station.
With surround sound, with popcorn.
With stars all around them.
It was a picturesque. One day, Elon Musk is going to allow you to experience that too. But until then, only... The
it's
people
amazing.
Up there.
It's amazing.
They got to see Star Wars.
Of course.
Oh, how wonderful.
What a great job. just go float around for a couple of months. I mean, the one guy's up there for a full year. He's a little more than half done with his full year.
That is the ultimate diet right there.
Yeah.
Think about what that could do for you. All of a sudden,
all of his muscle mass is gone. Yeah.
But there's no McDonald's up there. It's not like you can go, "Well, I think I'll have an Oreo."
Yeah, I think I'll have another Oreo. Yeah. Scott Kelly, he's gonna come down and we're gonna do some experiments with him. Good guy.
How wonderful for those guys up there.
What a great time to be alive.
It is. It's a perfect time.
It is perfect. So I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
I think we can survive another week. And however you celebrate, may the Force be with you. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Whatever type of celebration you have, I hope it's a great one.
Go to the movies.
There you go.
Go eat some Chinese food.
There you go. All the good stuff.
All those traditions. Whatever it is for you, make sure that you make it the best that you can. Be nice to everyone. Go light side on everyone.
And if next week arrives, we'll have another podcast.
That's right. And next week, we get to talk about our predictions for 2016.
That's right. I'll have to figure out some. I have the eight ball. I'll bring it out.
Didn't work last year. We'll go over that next week, too.
Oh, no. You're going to hold me to stuff.
Yep. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. You can go to our website, toomuchscrolling.com. You can send us an email, toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. Find out all the information that you need to get through the galaxy, even if it's far, far away. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflow.
We'll see you in the future. May the Force be with you. What I want to talk about.